You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Eurythmy Therapy, Collected Works, Volume 315, translated by Alan Stott. This is Lecture 5, given in Dornach on the 16th of April, 1921. My dear friends, today we will turn to some of those eurythmical exercises more related to the activity proceeding from the soul. Before we begin, however, it will be necessary to take note that it is usually assumed when a person produces an expression of will, or when he arrives at a judgment, that these expressions are connected with the human nervous system alone. This, however, is not at all the case. One must make it clear to oneself that the judgments which the human being passes, for example, are bound up with his entire constitution, that man pronounces a judgment out of the totality of his being. So when you do the eurythmical movement corresponding to a judgment, here again, the whole human being is influenced in a certain manner. It is not only the head which will be subject to the influences of what arises through judging eurythmically. Frau Baumann will show us the movement that corresponds to affirmation, and then the one corresponding to negation. Naturally, when used as a therapeutic exercise, it should be carried out several times without interruption. This affirmation and negation is precisely what can be called a judgment in the general sense. When one confirms or negates something, one has to do with the nature of judgment in its essence. When you give such an affirmation or negation, the movement, when it is repeated frequently, works very strongly on the respiratory system by way of a detour through the etheric body. By this means, you can counter a tendency to shortness of breath. You can repeat the affirmation, for example, 10 times consecutively, then the negation, and follow this up with affirmation, negation, both 10 times consecutively. Of whatever illness this shortness of breath may be the symptom, by this means you will be able to counteract it in such a way that the entire constitution is affected, as the whole matter occurs by way of a detour through the etheric body. You only have to keep in view what is being done here. We might interpret what Frau Baumann has done, touching upon what is essential in it, as follows. What she thereby projects into the world is a thought that has become fleeting, a thought that has gained wings and gone over into movement. When a judgment is fixed eurythmically, as an affirmation or negation, then it is a thought which rides on the movement. And because the thought rides on the movement, on the one hand, you in fact project outward a part of this being. On the other hand, because the thought rides on the movement, you take a part more thoroughly into yourself than otherwise. That is to say, you do a movement through which you become more awake than you otherwise are. Such movements are actually movements that awaken. However, because you do not wake up with the I, capital, the ego, at the same time, in the same manner, the activity of the ego is, in a certain way, dampened. This dampening of the ego activity, though, is not absolute, but occurs in relation to the organism. In fighting shortness of breath by means of this detour through the etheric body, this constitutes what would be the first symptom reached and what is introduced into the whole human constitution by means of the byway through the etheric body. Now, a disposition of the will, sympathy and antipathy, Fräulein Wolfram demonstrates. Imagine you do this movement repeatedly, one after another, sympathy, antipathy, or only one of these two. When you do this, in a certain sense, you are setting out something which you carry within yourself. Naturally, this can only be confirmed through observation. It is a kind of falling asleep. The other movement, affirmation and negation, must be carried out quickly. This must be carried out slowly. It is indeed a movement which brings forth the imagination of sleep in the observer. Imaginatively, you fall asleep with such a movement. Not in reality, however, at least that shouldn't happen. But because in reality you don't fall asleep while making this movement, the eye is more strongly active in relation to the body than it usually is. Capital. By means of such a movement, the circulation and the digestion as a whole are stimulated. The entire digestion is really stimulated in such a manner that through such a movement the tendency to belch, for example, can be counteracted. Now, we want to express what we could call the feeling of love towards something. Frau Baumann will demonstrate. Take a good look at this, the feeling of love for something. Imagine it carried out 10 times consecutively and accompanied by a powerful A between each of the movements. Thus, love, A, and so on, one after another. You accompany the movements which you have learned as expressing feeling in eurythmy, it could be another feeling as well, with the movement for A. Here we have a strong influence which proceeds from the human etheric acting on the astral nature, and which has the effect of warming the circulation. It is something which really works on the circulatory system in a beneficial manner. One cannot say that it accelerates or retards the circulation. It affects it in a beneficially warming manner. We also have something which could be called a wish. Hope, Fräulein Wolfram. Look at this, and picture to yourself that you repeatedly carry out this movement for the wish, always returning to the position of balance, then carrying out the movement for the wish again, and always alternating it with the movement for ooh. This means that the astral will act very strongly upon the etheric nature. And it can be said that a beneficial warming effect on the breathing system will result. Naturally, you have to take into consideration that all these things of which we have spoken today occur by way of a detour through the etheric body, and consequently never show what effect they have on the following day. Some effects may appear after 2 to 3 days, yet then they are all the more certain. Now imagine that we do a bending and stretching movement with the legs, and at the same time a definite B movement, Frau Baumann. That which I have just shown you, simultaneous with a decided B movement, now rest, B while bending, 10 times consecutively, then pause and again 10 times. This is something which people should do who very frequently suffer from migraine or other headaches. The time for them to do it, however, is not when they are suffering from the headache, but rather when they are not. A particularly effective movement is the following. Bend and stretch the torso forward and backward, accompanying this movement simultaneously with a movement for R, Fräulein Wolfram. Bend forward, bend backward, with the R, that consecutively and often. This positively affects the whole rhythmic system, the rhythm of breathing and of the circulation. When there are irregularities present there, this will work extraordinarily well under all conditions. Now, I ask you to take a look at another most effective movement, which consists in shaking the head to the right and left with the movement for M. The head should not be turned as far as possible, but only bent to the right and left, and that with the M movement. This is something which, when practiced, has a very strong quieting effect on all possible irregularities in the lower body. Again, by way of a detour through the etheric body. Irregularities in the lower system, expressing themselves through pains, can thereby be mitigated. You have to combat tendencies to such pains when the pains are not present. That is the crux of the matter. While the pains are present, it cannot very well be carried out. The important thing is to carry it out as long as the pains are not present. Please take note of the following. Press against the knee with the other foot. And accompany this with an A movement of the arms. This bending of one leg, hitting the other leg, is accompanied by an A movement of the arms. It is a very beautiful movement. It can and should be carried out as an exercise with children in school. For carried out frequently, it treats the most varied aspects of clumsiness. The children will at least be well cured of their clumsiness when they practice just this exercise. And when the children come and say that their shoulders hurt so and everything possible hurts, then you reply, "That is exactly what I wanted. You will be especially glad about it once it's better again." Every pain that is brought about in this manner combats clumsiness. With respect to this, one can deal quite energetically with the children. Now, we will take a look at another variation of movement. Imagine every sort of A movement that can be carried out with the arms now projected onto the floor. This movement comes into existence when this line crosses the other diagonally. Footnote: a sketch which appeared in earlier editions is to be found neither in the shorthand report nor in the transcript. It is not reproduced in the German fifth edition. End of footnote. Now let us imagine it in this way. Frau Baumann places herself here, Fräulein Wolfram there. Now, walk and accompany the whole thing with an A movement with the arms. Move so that you pass by one another, but pay attention that you don't run into each other. So you do an A on the floor and an A with the arms, paying attention at the same time that you don't collide. It is this taking notice of the other person, this exerting of your concentration on him, her, combined with the A gesture, which works together here with the movement. This exercise can only be carried out with two people. When carried out by two people, it is essentially what we would call a strengthening of the heart, all that which is connected with the phenomena which we generally term the strengthening of the heart. Question: could one have this exercise carried out by one sick and one healthy person? Rudolf Steiner: you can readily do that, but you would perhaps have to have the healthy person omit the A movement with the arms. This movement is especially intended for the clinical situation, where one will, of course, have two people in need of a strengthening of the heart. It really is better if you have two such people. Now let us imagine the movement like this. One of the ladies stands here, the other here, behind one another. When you, Frau Baumann, arrive here, then Fräulein Wolfram carries out the path which you have begun, but in such a manner that she is always facing forward. And there's a diagram. Then as the movement carries on, you take this part of the path and you the other. You initiate the continuation of your own movement in the other person, accompanying it with the O position of the arms. Now, you will see that the people who do this begin at a certain tempo. To begin with, it must be slower, then become ever faster and faster. This rapid tempo should then ebb out into a slower one. That is a movement which serves significantly to strengthen the diaphragm, and thereby the whole breathing system. Here again, if you leave out the O movement with the arms, you can have a healthy person participate, but it is, of course, best to employ two people who are in need of therapy. Now I will ask you, Frau Baumann, to demonstrate the H movement for us once again. This is an Ha movement. I will ask you to do this movement in such a way that you hold the arms still and imitate the movement with the shoulders alone as well as possible. In this case, however, one must accustom oneself to doing this movement with the shoulders, making an ah with the arms at the same time. An ah of any sort with the arms. That should be repeated frequently. You see, that is what could be designated as laughing eurythmically. That is how one laughs eurythmically. When one laughs thus eurythmically, that which one has in the therapeutic... When one laughs thus, eurythmically, that which one has in the therapeutic effect of laughing itself is really very greatly heightened. The therapeutic effect of laughing is well known. But when one practices laughing eurythmically, this therapeutic effect is proportionately greater. But you could do it otherwise as well. Fräulein Wolfram, please do an ah movement of some sort. And now try to do the same movement I spoke of before, the shoulder movement of the H. But do it quite slowly, as if you wished to do it thoughtfully. Thus into the ah movement of the arms you do the shoulder movement of the ha. We could designate that as follows. The whole organism is brought into accord with a feeling of veneration. It encompasses all that which the feeling of veneration actually effects in the organism. The effect on the human organism of the feeling of veneration, when it is habitual, is to make the organism as such actually more durable, more sturdy. It becomes capable of greater resistance. People who really have the capacity for veneration inherent in them become more capable of resistance within their organism. That is why everything which brings children to veneration, to the gift or capacity for reverence, makes children more resilient. You can come to the assistance of this capacity for resilience through this last described eurythmical exercise. Keep in mind that what we have demonstrated today as decision, expression of will, hope, love, what we have shown in respect to certain organic pains, what we have demonstrated as a means of combating clumsiness, and so on. All these things are related to man in such a way that the human being is gripped through them in the innermost part of his organic being, and by way of a detour through the etheric body, actually gives the possibility of making this etheric body into a workable instrument. The etheric body is a part of man which becomes stiff in most of those people who sit out their lives, spend their lives without interest for their surroundings. It is not good when the human etheric body becomes stiff. Neither for the organic functions is it good. When you have the exercises which we have described today, carried out by children in moderation, and by the appropriate patients very energetically, one can see by the indications given which patients have need of them, the etheric body will become supple and inwardly flexible, and by means of them you will do the children as well as the adults a good service. These movements are indeed such that one can give them priority over the usual gymnastic movements. The usual gymnastic movements are taken, in reality, from the physiology, from the physis of the body alone, and they tear the physical body continually out of the etheric body. The physical body then does its own movements, which do not pull after them the movements of the etheric body in the corresponding manner. For this reason, the usual merely physiological gymnastics is basically a tool for materialism, since by means of it, materialistic thought is transformed into feeling. Eurythmy makes man more capable of recognizing himself within himself, of gaining inner control over himself. Consequently, such exercises have an educational, instructive value, as well as a therapeutic and healthy value. The attempt should be made to have these exercises, those described today, I mean, carried out in moderation, also by adults, and to develop them in such a way that they could be carried out by the sick in a clinical situation. A question has been put to me which could perhaps lead to something, and some other questions as well. Here is the question. The Chinese cannot pronounce the letter R. They substitute L for it. Strawberries, for example, become Slobellies. Does that have to do with their race? It has to do, of course, with the organization of the organism, insofar as that is racially determined. Through the particular gift of one part of mankind for one sound or another, we can see what tendencies are inherent in certain people by virtue of their race. I brought such things to discussion just a few sessions ago. Other questions have been put about exercises which could be used in relation to conditions of indolence, insufficient reaction, lethargy, and so on. Conditions which frequently have to do with an insufficient thyroid activity. And here it has been brought to our attention that Fleiss, in his well-known book about the course of life, has placed this complex of symptoms in the intermediate sexual category. How could a contemporary author not do so? Everything about which he knows very little, he chalks up to the intermediate sexual category, or some other way. He puts, for example, gauche, German linkisch, clumsy, left-handed, people in the same category. Footnote, in the shorthand report, a fragmentary sentence appears, not transcribed by H. Fink. It may have referred to diligence. See the references given in the notes. End of footnote. I want expressly to emphasize, however, that I have never recommended a eurythmical exercise with a special right-left emphasis to anyone. Bracket. Attention was drawn to the exercises from Lecture 1, which should be begun either to the right or to the left. Iambus trochee. Close bracket. It is not in order particularly to accentuate an emphasis on the right or left, but rather in order to call forth the feeling of the iambus, or trochee, within the forward motion. That is thoroughly justified. The fact is that it has less to do with the long short than it has to do with a particular movement. It is quite correct. It has to do with the fact that what lives in the breathing system is reversed when it is transferred into the system of movement. The upper man and the lower man are the reverse of one another. Thus every imaginable iambus in the breathing system brought forth in speech has of necessity to become a trochee in the movement of legs, and vice versa. Eurythmy in its entirety is based on this principle. You may test the whole of eurythmy in respect to it. Eurythmy does not follow the principle of similarity in its execution, but the movement which is in keeping with the polar image. It is all entirely in accord with the image formed as the other polarity. This idea must be maintained throughout. But I have never recommended to anyone that he do something especially right or left. That should be left completely to the feelings. The question of whether a thing should be done with the right hand or the left hand should be determined only by those matters which would otherwise come into consideration. I do not want people to gain the impression that I would have suggested an emphasis on the right in particular eurythmical exercises for any gauche, linkish, left-sided person. That is not the case. In addition to this, I would like to emphasize the following. It is the case that when one has to do with insufficient reaction or with lethargy, this more general indication will fall into some category which I have already given. Lethargy is a general expression and can be relegated to something or other about which I have spoken. The appropriate movements should then be carried out. Bracket. Here a posed question does not appear in the shorthand report. Close bracket. This condition of indolence, of lethargy, inattention, and so on, as far as laziness, is to a certain extent a preliminary to what is called in homeopathy a diffuse mental condition. Bracket. A long gap in the shorthand report. Close bracket. Now, what this involves, purely medically, I will answer tomorrow morning with the doctors. But since the question does link to the lecture on eurythmy, I would like to say that on the whole, such an exercise as I have given here, in connection with judgment and expression of will, has to be seen, especially with the appearance of indolence, of lethargy, that it can be combated very especially by what I have given for the expression of will. If you should notice that this is not particularly effective, you can alternate that exercise with the exercise I have given for judgment, but in such a way that you attempt to discover, as it is here a question of trying it out, whether it is more effective when you vary the expression of will and the expression of judgment in a ratio of 3-2 or of 2-3, that is, the one shorter, the other longer. And since these things work by way of a detour through the etheric body, you will find that you will first have to begin and carry on with these exercises for 2 to 3 days. According to the circumstances, when you see that they are not having the proper effect, make a change on the 3rd day. But in general, we can say that the one exercise as well as the other will have an awakening effect on man in both directions. The will exercise and the judgment exercise are the ones that come into particular consideration. In order that there be no misunderstanding, I emphasize that, of course, the opinion must not arise that these exercises would have a very significant effect after being carried out for 2 or 3 days. That would be an error. In order to produce an effect, these exercises should be carried out for at least 7 weeks. One can maintain, without necessarily being mystically inclined, that the space of time necessary for the beneficial effects just described to show themselves would be about 7 weeks. That is what I wanted to tell you today concerning these matters. I would like to request that the corresponding session tomorrow follow the other directly after a short pause. Tomorrow will be the last Eurythmy session, as it will be necessary to have 2 purely medical sessions, one after the other, on Monday. The end of Lecture 5.